Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and thank you so much for tuning into our EN channel. And I want to remind you, like I do each and every week, that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so let me begin our time this way. So I'm not sure if you've ever been to an AA meeting. I have a number of friends that have invited me, and as they're celebrating anniversaries, and I just got to be honest with you, man, it's such a refreshing place. Like when you go to these AA meetings, man, Alcoholics Anonymous, it's just raw and real. I find that the room itself it's a room filled with honesty and humility. If I was being like real with you, that sometimes it's more honest and real than we do Sunday mornings in a church. And so in the spirit of AA, let me start our time this way. Hi, my name is Adam, and I'm a control freak. All right. Listen, I don't know if I have any other control freaks out there. Like, is this a safe place? No, just me? Okay. But listen, I didn't even stumble into this reality until I was like 40 years old. I'm like, oh my gosh, man, I'm a control freak. And as I kind of like pull on that string of my past, I realize, man, there's things that, in my upbringing and stuff, it was control became kind of a defense mechanism where I could try and control my atmosphere so I'd be assured of what the outcomes were. And so I got to tell you this, man, I got pretty good at it for a while, man. So, man, I could control my surroundings to a point where, it helped me to get good grades in school. I excelled at sports. And so I was a rule follower, right? I was going to control my atmosphere and my outcomes. And, you know, to a degree, it really worked for a while until it didn't. Man, if you've ever tried to control your world, you realize it's an impossibility. So there's a comedian out there, Kevin Hart. I'm sure you've seen him on a bunch of TV commercials and movies. And it was fascinating. I was listening to ESPN. He was being interviewed. And in it was funny. He was shooting a movie. And in the movie, he was sharing about the scene he had to do. And so, man, they start. And the director's like, ready, and action. And Kevin Hart goes on, and he just gives his line. He's like, Billy, don't believe it. It's nothing but a facade. And the director's like, cut. Like, all right, Kevin, let's try it again. And 3, 2, 1, action. Billy, don't believe it. It's nothing but a facade. Cut. And they're like, Kevin, why don't you go ahead? Could you read the line again? Billy, don't believe it. It's nothing but a facade. He said, Kevin, that word is facade. Facade. He's like, oh, is that what that word is? He goes, I know the word. I just had never read it before. And I want to tell you this, man. The idea that you can control your atmosphere or your world, it's nothing but a facade, man. Nothing but a facade. It's an illusion. And so here's something that I've learned after 57 years of life. Man, you can do everything right and it still go wrong. We can't control outcomes. And like, I'll prove it to you this way. As a professional athlete playing in the NHL, you know, I was meticulous with my nutrition, training, working out, and I did everything right. And despite all that, it didn't stop me from getting 5 back surgeries and having to retire early. In my married life, I learned very quickly you can't control outcomes. And so, man, I got married. I'm reading every book I can on marriage. I'm going to rock this thing. And every book that I was reading, it made it sound like, hey, if you do this, she'll do that. You do this, and she'll do that. And I want to tell you, man, I did that, and she did not do this, okay? And so here's the reason why, man. My wife, Susan, man, she's her own soul, man. It's not like you cookie cut this thing and they're robotic. And so yeah, it didn't work. I couldn't control my outcomes. And how about this? Then I went and had kids. And man, I was very much aware that it says in the Bible that train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. The only problem is I was training up a child in the way they should go, and instead of going, they were going crazy for a season, right? And if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about, man. Man, I've heard story after story of these unbelievably great parents, and yet their kids go sideways or wayward for a season. See, we can't control outcomes. Last but not least, man, being a pastor. I can get up every Sunday, preach, and teach my guts out. But you know what I can't do? I can't make you love Jesus. And so it just shows us, man, the idea of controlling outcomes, it's a facade, right? It's a facade. It's just not real. And so I've kind of always taken the approach of one of the great church fathers, Augustine. He said this, to work like it all depends on you and to pray like it all depends on God. I think that's a great way to live. And, that like God has created you to work hard. Like you are an image bearer of Almighty God. And as his image bearer, you're going to work like God works. If you recall, even in the creation narrative, man, God gets after it. He works for 6 days. He'll work, he'll create, and then he'll step back, enjoy his labor. He says it's good. And he does that for 6 days. And in the same way, man, you should be pouring out your life, working hard with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, everything you do, and then step back and go, oh, that's good, that's good. Your soul has been designed to work that way. In fact, do you know that work, the word in Hebrew, the word for work and worship, it's the word avodah. It's the same word, because your work is very much a worship unto God. My life verse is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do it heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so listen, work hard. But at the end of the day, man, it doesn't guarantee outcomes. And so work hard and let's trust God, the God who does control the outcomes. So just a real simple question for you today. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? You know, there's Sir Anthony Hopkins. You know, he, like, I don't know about you, man, but I could just listen to Anthony Hopkins read the phone book and it would be amazing. This guy's a two-time Oscar winner, best actor, four-time Golden Globe recipient, and he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth. And so despite the fact he was unbelievably accomplished, there was one area of his life that was a disaster. He was a raging alcoholic, and whatever he tried, it couldn't work. Until he tried AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and he went there, and he was kind of spinning his wheels a bit because I don't know if you knew this, but Hopkins, he was an atheist. And you realize if you've ever done the steps is that AA, the first step there is, man, we have to believe in a higher power. And so he didn't until finally in one meeting, an old lady just calls out Sir Anthony Hopkins, why don't you just shut up and trust God? And it hit him like a ton of bricks. Why don't I just trust God? And so he prayed this very simple, honest prayer. He says, God, I don't know if you're there, but if you are, please help me. Please help me. And guess what? God helped him. And he's been sober for the better part of 5 decades. God did for him what he couldn't do for himself. And so we're in a sermon series we've just called Stronger. And man, I believe that God wants us to have stronger faith. Our text is going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Let me define faith. Faith is simply trust in action. Trust in action. And so it gets me back to my original question. Do you trust God or do you have faith? I've been in ministry now, I can't believe it, for the better part of 23 years. And I've had the chance to plant a couple churches and so been in this thing for a minute. And if I could give you, man, one piece of gold, the one thing that has been most valuable to me in ministry, I'm going to give it to you. And it's 4 simple words. God will help us. I'm telling you, I don't know if you realize it or not, but just those 4 simple words are unbelievably powerful. God will help us. Like, I can't begin to tell you how many times, man, I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't have the answers. Wasn't sure where we were headed. But all I knew was this. God will help us. And he's been faithful and came through every single time. Like a couple examples. So we were a small church plant, about 70 people, and we found a building that we wanted to get into. The only problem was to retrofit this building. It was going to be like $250,000. Well, I don't know about you, I just don't have that money laying around, and neither did my congregation. Pastor Adam, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I have no idea, but I know this. God will help us. And guess what? He did. In fact, by sending a couple of the New York football Jets came, two unbelievable brothers, man, they dropped in $250,000 and we were able to get in the building we're currently in. God helped us. How about this? My third year here when we're doing ministry, man, giving was way down. And so, man, the staff and everyone's asking, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know, but God will help us. And man, sure enough, man, a week before our fiscal year ended, we had a member of our congregation come up and ask where he could send $120,000. Praise God, right? God will help us. In fact, you go back to 2020, COVID, there's a shutdown. Now we can't gather. I don't know if you know about that, but it's kind of the heartbeat of the church is gathering with one another. And so I had to preach that to myself. God will help us. God will help us. God will help us. And I don't know if you're paying attention. He did. Man, we're still here today, all right? And so Hebrews 11, chapter 6, if you know anything about your scriptures, Hebrews 11 is that it's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I'm going to read verse 6. It says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Man, faith pleases God. You've got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. In other words, God is good and God is good at being God. And so do you trust him? Do you believe, man, that at the end of the day, God will help us? So in John chapter 16, Jesus says something that's staggering, and I don't know if we quite believe it. Jesus tells his disciples, "It's better for you that I go away." And you're like, "I don't believe that's true, Jesus." He says, "Because if I don't go, I can't send the helper or the Holy Spirit." Isn't that amazing? Like, God will help us. Do you know that God's one of his names is the helper? The helper, it's the word parakletos. It means the parakaleo, the one that's called alongside of us to help. Man, God will help us. It's in his very name. In fact, if we go back to Genesis 22, Abraham, the father of faith, trusting God. Man, God asked Abraham to do the unthinkable. "I want you to sacrifice your one and only son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah." And so what does he do, man? He goes up. And for the record, man, if you're a parent, I know there have been times all of us thought about killing our kid. But man, God actually asked Abraham to do this. And though he didn't understand what was going on, he still moved in faith. He trusted God. Do you trust God? And so just a little side note, whenever I talk about Genesis 22 and the sacrifice of Isaac, here's what you need to know. Isaac's not a 7-year-old at this time. In fact, Jewish tradition says he's actually 37. That would make Abraham 137. And so, man, Abraham couldn't do anything against Isaac's will. A 37-year-old could take a 137-year-old, okay? And so they're in lockstep. Here's the big idea. They don't know what God is doing, but together they're trusting God. And then Isaac asks his father this question, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" And we read this in Genesis 22:8. "And Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them, together." And so that word, man, God will provide. It's the word ra'ah in Hebrew. And here's what it means. It means God will see. And so, man, in the midst of your world, do you believe that? Man, God will see. Do you believe that God sees you? He sees you in your situation. He sees your needs. Do you believe that God sees you and God will help you? Do you know, we see this before earlier in the book of Genesis. Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and she has a falling out with Sarah, and she runs away. And so, Hagar's world is just on fire, falling apart. She doesn't know what she's going to do. She's overwhelmed with despair. And then God appears to her, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to help you." And you know what? With that, it's the first time in the Bible God is given a name, and Hagar gives God a name. She says, "You are El Roy. You are the God who sees me." Do you believe that God sees you? That God sees you? That God will help you? And so Abraham's about ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God shuts him down. He says, "Stop." And he says, "I've provided a sacrifice." And there off in a thicket is a ram. And that from that moment on, he would take that ram, that innocent ram caught in a thicket, and he would sacrifice it unto the Lord. And that day, Abraham too gave a title to Almighty God. He says, "You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, our great and glorious provider." And here's what's so cool about that story is, do you know that some 2,000 years on that same mountain, Mount Moriah, there would be another son that would be sacrificed, God's one and only son. He was the sacrifice, the ram in the thicket. If you remember that Jesus, man, his head in a crown of thorns, a ram in the thicket. He sacrificed on our behalf. He died so that you and I might live. God is Jehovah Jireh, our great and glorious provider. God has helped us in the cross. And so there's a guy, George Mueller. He actually was called by God to plant orphanages throughout England in the 1800s, but he was going to do it one way, by faith. He was going to believe God that he was going to supply everything, and he wasn't going to ask one human being for a dime. And so, Mueller in his journal records that one morning he got up, there's no food and no money, but it was no problem because he trusted God. And he had the children sit around the table like he did every morning. But there was no food until there was a knock on the door. And the town baker said, "The Lord wouldn't let me sleep all night. He made me bake bread for you and your children, brought all this bread into them." But God wasn't done with that. He said, just shortly after that, the dairy cart broke down and everything was going to go bad and get spoiled. So the dairy cart guy brought in all this milk and cheese for the children, and they feasted like kings, right? God will help us, man. And so let me ask this question. Can you trust God even when the circumstances, they aren't working out quite the way you wanted them to? And so, listen, I believe it's okay to believe God for stuff and things, but you can believe for stuff, but we put our faith in God. Does that make sense? And so we don't put our faith in the outcomes. We put our faith in the Lord, a person. And so let me do it this way. So sometimes our outcomes are different than what we had hoped for, not because God is mean. It's because he's smarter than us, all right? It says in Isaiah 55, it says that God says, "My ways are higher than your ways," right? In other words, God knows better. God knows better than you and I. And so there's actually a song put out by Garth Brooks a number of years ago, and it was entitled this, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." The song resonated with so many people, and Brooks tells the story how he goes to an old football game, and there he saw his old high school flame, and he's with his the love of his life, Trisha Yearwood, and he realized, "Oh, thank God for unanswered prayers, because if you gave me her, I wouldn't have her," right? And so, listen, don't move too quickly with your spouse, but I guarantee you, if God answered all our prayers exactly like we want, man, many of you wouldn't be with your current spouse, all right? I know this. I wouldn't have daughters. Man, I was adamant, man, asking God, "I want a son, I got a son, I want a son." And guess what? I would have been an absolute jackass of a dad for a son. And I thank God each and every day to the point where it makes me giggle and laugh. I'm like, God, thank you so much that you gave me daughters. Man, I love being a daddy of daughters. Man, God knows best. How about this? Did you know that Elijah and Moses both prayed to God, asked God, God, kill me? God's like, okay, you know? He's like, no, man. He's like, hey, I got a lot of stuff you guys are going to do. Like, you're going to be a big deal in the story of God, okay? That Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, man, he prayed three times. Father, let this cup pass from me. I mean, aren't you glad that the Father didn't go, All right. I guess, humanity are just kind of out of luck, okay? And so, listen, do you have the ability to trust God when things aren't working out the way that you thought they would? Can you still trust him? And so a lot of times what God is doing, it's just so much bigger than what you and I think. And so we get an example of this in Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel 3, we get the familiar story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And man, these three Hebrew boys are in Babylonian captivity, and King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, he builds a massive monument of himself, and he tells everybody to bow down, but these Hebrew boys said, no, we only bow the knee to Yahweh, to the one true God. And so they refused to bow down, and so he's going to throw them into the fire. And so what happens? What happens to you when God doesn't deliver you from the fire, but delivers you through the fire? See, sometimes, man, God will allow you to walk through stuff because this thing is much bigger than just you and me. It's about the glory of God in the earth. And God did indeed see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fire. And the other side of that, you know what happened? Man, the Babylonians begin to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's a little side note. Did you know that the name Abednego, That is his Babylonian name. Do you know what his Jewish name was? His name was Azariah. And you know what Azariah means? It's Hebrew for God has helped us, right? And so I can even bring us up to the 21st century here. It's funny, in the news right now is this kind of precious earth metals and minerals, you know. And do you know that Chile is like one of the number one copper producing nations on the planet? And so they produce a lot of copper, but it's also one of the most dangerous places to produce copper as they kind of like don't follow the best practices of safety protocols and whatnot. And it was highlighted, if you remember, back in 2010. Back in 2010, a mine shaft collapsed and it trapped 33 men 2,300 feet below the earth. And so it made, you know, the news all around. They had rescue teams from around the world, including NASA, come into the site. And after 17 days, they still weren't sure if there's any sign of life. And so they started to drill down boreholes down into the filled mine shafts. And one time, man, the drill came back and there was a note on the end of it. I think we have an image of it. What it says in English is, "We are all in the refuge," signed the 33. 33 men, they survived. And they would gather in an empty place in the mine shaft they called the refuge. One of the superintendent was a gentleman by the name of Luis Urzua. And Luis would lead prayer in the morning and in the evening. They were praying, believing that surely God will help us. Right? And so get this, after 69 days, finally, they got through to the 33 men, and one by one, they took them back up to the top, onto land. And the last guy to come out was the superintendent, Luis Urzua, and he went to his boss, and he says, "I'm officially checking out of my shift now." Had a sense of humor, right? But as the last person got to the top, they all took to their knees and they gave thanks to God. And when they interviewed them afterwards, they said there wasn't 33 trapped down in the refuge. There was 34 because God was with us, right? And so God will help us. I wanted to remind you that God is good and God is good at being God. But when you don't understand what God's doing, can you still trust him? Do you still have faith in God? So we've been doing this thing at church. We're just calling Man Camp, where we get a bunch of the dudes together like at 6 a.m. We do a little workout, and then we'll do a devotional. And I was sharing with the guys about, man, there's certain pithy sayings that people say out there in the world that they think they're in the Bible. Like cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, it's in the Proverbs. No, it's not. man, you know, God helps those who helps themselves. It's in the Bible. No, it's not, okay? And one that I hear often is, man, God will never give you more than you can bear, brother. That ain't in the Bible, bro. It says that you won't be tempted that which beyond, man, that you can't handle, okay? And so, man, God will often put more than you can bear. You know why? Because this way, by faith, we lean into him, and by faith, we get stronger. You know this, don't you? Man, God's like a good parent. Good parents, they'll put a heavy load on their kids. Why? Not to crush them, but they might grow and develop. And God is a good father, and he wants you to get stronger. So my oldest daughter, Cassie, when she was a little girl, man, she just refused to stay in her bed at night. And so, man, we consulted with our physician at the time, and this is kind of like strange advice, but he said, hey, take the lock in her room and switch it so you can lock her from the outside in her room. And all right, you're the doctor, right? And we kind of do that thing. We lock the door, and then sure enough, my daughter tries to sneak up at night, and Susan and I are on the other side of the door. She is pounding away, screaming. And listen, you want to know what we were doing? We were on the other side of the door in tears, like, oh my gosh, this is so awful. But man, my young daughter, she had no framework. She's like, where are you? And I'm like, well, we're actually on the other side of the door, okay? And here's the good news. She got through the night. And then moving forward, she stayed at her bed and stayed in her room. See, we weren't doing that because we hated her. It's because we loved her, and we don't think it's a good idea that when she's 33 that she's still sleeping with her mom and dad, okay? And so, but in the same way, man, how many times we're like my young daughter. We are like, God, where are you? And I want to tell you where God is. Man, God is in tomorrow. He's already there waiting for you. He has everything you need to do all he's called you to do. Do you trust him? He's already in tomorrow. He has everything you need. God will help us. John 11, in John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus is overtly Jesus's friend. And his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus because Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And Jesus does something very disorienting. Rather than go immediately, he waits a couple of days. In fact, he doesn't get to Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days in the grave. It was such a lost cause that they said the body stinketh, all right? And so you can imagine Martha and Mary. They're both hurt and confused. And Mary kind of lets it out by being emotional. Martha's kind of passive-aggressive through the whole thing. But here's what I love. Though they're upset with Jesus, man, they still have faith in him. And so, listen, have you ever been there before? Where, man, God, I'm upset with you. You're not doing it the way I think you should do it. It's in those moments. Can you still trust God? Can you still have faith? Can you still believe that God is going to help us? Because Martha and Mary did. And guess what? Lazarus got up from out of the grave. And here's kind of the cool thing. Man, the name Lazarus, it means one who God has helped. Man, God will help us. Do you trust God? Let me close with this last story. So I was reading a book by Pastor John Ortberg. It's called The Faith and Doubt. It's a great read. And in it, he actually tells the story of a trapeze-oriented family, okay? And so they were entertainers, trapeze artists. They were called the Flying Rondelays. And as he's interviewing them, he's finding out the intricacies of the trapeze artist. And so here's what he finds out. There's actually two categories in the group. There's the catchers and the flyers, the catchers and the flyers. And so for the Rondelays, they were a group of five. And so there were three flyers and two catchers. And they said there's this one caveat that you cannot get wrong, flyers never try to catch the catchers, all right? They wait to be caught. They said, man, if a flyer tries to catch the catcher, it always goes bad for both of them. And so what the flyer has to do is the flyer has to release and then wait to be caught. And I want to tell you something. That's faith. Man, that you and I, we work hard with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then we release and we trust God for tomorrow. We trust God for the results. We wait to be caught by the catcher. One last little caveat is this. Do you know that, man, the word trapeze, it's actually in your Bible. It's the Greek word trapeza is for table. And that, did you know that Jesus, it says in the scriptures that he sat around the trapeza at the Last Supper. And it was just hours before that Jesus, he would let go of his life and waiting to be caught by the Heavenly Father. And in the same way, each week when we partake of communion, it's this reminder, man, that we can release and we trust God, that God will help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are indeed the good God. Lord, you are the great catcher who catch us when we walk by faith. You said it's impossible to please you without faith, that we must believe that you exist and that you're a rewarder. Lord, that you are good and good at being God. We thank you and we trust that you are gonna help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.